This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, as we continue with the series called Building My Life on Values That Last, Rick shows us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. Now, in just a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get the brand new set of 52 Bible verse memorization cards for this series called Building My Life on Values That Last. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com. If you want, you can connect with us by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Maintaining Moral Purity.
Now, women, I need to explain something to you about men. And particularly those of you who are married, you're wondering, what happened to my husband? He's not the same guy I married. Men tend to be these kind of hunters. They have this... they're kind of goal-oriented, achievement-oriented, and when a guy gets out of school, like high school or college, the first thing he's thinking is, I got to get me a woman. Okay? I need a woman in my life. He instinctively knows something's missing there. I got to get a woman. So he pursues the hunt, and he woos you, and he spends intense amount of effort trying to win this woman. Now, during this stage, men do really strange things like read poetry and, you know, go to operas, you know, things that no normal man would ever do. You know, they just do these things and they call and talk for hours on the phone. You know a man who does that? Okay. And they hang on every word you say, you know, and they're just, and you're going, wow, this is great, you know? Now, the moment you get a ring on your finger, you say, I do, and the marriage is put together, the man, now he's not being selfish. You just understand, he's not being selfish. In his mind, he's thinking, mission accomplished. Okay? And now he is, as a natural, goal-oriented guy, as a male, he's now thinking, what's the next hunt? And usually it's now, I've got to provide for the woman. And so he takes all the energy and effort that he spent wooing you and getting you. Now he turns all that onto the job. And he says, I got to hoof it. I got to hustle. Because I got to provide for this woman that I love and the kids that are going to come along too. And so all the energy he spent wooing you is now spent providing for you. And he takes all that energy and he attaches it to his business. Now the woman is going, where's the opera? Well, the poetry, the flowers, the candy. She's thinking bait and switch. Okay? That's what she's thinking. Bait and switch, okay? And that's not it at all. And on the other hand, he's thinking the same thing, bait and switch, because he's thinking, you know, before we got married, she couldn't keep her hands off me. Now, she doesn't have any time. Oh, I got a headache, you know? Guy was getting ready to go to bed one night, and he said to his wife said, here, honey, here's two aspirin. She said, what's that for? He said, for your headache. She said, I don't have one. He said, gotcha. So anyway, he goes, man, she couldn't keep her hands off me before we got married. Now all she wants to do is diaper the babies. You know? He's thinking bait and switch too. You know, the problem is we have to put as much energy into courting in the marriage as we did before. You know, I got to thinking the other day, if there were more courting in marriage, there'd be fewer marriages in court. Circle that word, enjoy. Do you enjoy your spouse? Are you fun to live with? Husbands, you need to learn what is called non-sexual affection. Now, I know that sounds like a contradiction to you men, but trust me, there is such a thing as non-sexual affection. It's where you just show her you love her without going all the way. Now, the Bible is very clear about maintaining your marriage. It's very practical, too. Notice this verse. 1 Corinthians 7 says, a husband should not deprive his wife of sexual intimacy, which is her right as a married woman. Nor should the wife deprive her husband. Do not cheat each other of normal sexual relations, or you will expose yourselves to the obvious temptation of Satan. He says, you know, if the magnet's at home, you're not going to be looking elsewhere. Now, those of you who heard my wife Kay speak know that she discovered a very scientific study that shows that husbands like to make love on days that start with T. Tuesday, Thursday, today, tomorrow, Taturday, and Tunday. Okay? Now, it's a very scientific study. Very, very scientific. And if you don't get anything else, write that down. Yesterday, I was reading this magazine, Marriage Partnership. It's a Christian magazine. I highly recommend that you subscribe to this magazine. It's a terrific magazine, Marriage Partnership. And in it, there was an article called It Doesn't Just Happen, A Lifetime Prescription for Sizzling Sex. It says, do you remember the anticipation of going on a date with your future spouse and how desperately you desired one another and how the sexual tension seemed to mount as you moved toward marriage? Today, you may be wondering, where's our energy and desire for sex now? After 20 years as counselors, we're convinced that good sex in marriage doesn't, quote, just happen. Couples who keep the sexual spark glowing through the changing stages of marriage are those who deliberately set about their sexual relationship. And it talks about in different stages. It says, you know, during the marriage's middle years, you may feel as though you're merely surviving sexually. The demand of life uses up your energy, and your primary desire is often for sleep, not sex. I saw a few elbows and a few amens just then. But you must keep the pilot light of your sexual relationship lit, even if you don't have the time and energy to turn the flames up as high as they used to be. How do you do that? And here are some suggestions for maintaining your marriage. From Christian Biblical counselors, keep kissing passionately every day. Kissing is the barometer of the state of your sexual relationship. Keep open by sharing every day. Keep committed to sex in spite of all the distractions. Your marriage and sexual relationship must continue to be high priorities. Be cautious of commitments that rob you of time for sex with one another. Keep physically fit. Keep well-groomed. Keep your sexual feelings turned toward home. If sexual feelings are triggered in response to somebody else other than your mate, immediately put your spouse in the picture and bring that spark home. Keep it scheduled. Just as you need to schedule quality time with your family and you need to schedule individual time with your children, you need to schedule time for your sexual relationship with your spouse. I know some of you are going, schedule sex? I thought it was supposed to be spontaneous. Who said? In the Bible, God says that anything that's worth doing, you need to plan. The Bible says that planned giving is better than spontaneous giving. The Bible says that planning your worship, planning your day off, your Sabbath, is important. Planning time with your kids, planning to study the Bible, because it's important, and planning to make sure that you have time for sexual relationship in your marriage. Because if you don't make time, you may not take time in today's world where everybody's just busy all the time. Keep sex positive. Keep learning about your body and your mate's body, and keep coming up with surprises to keep sex from becoming boring. That's what it talks about. That's what it means to maintain your marriage. What I'm saying is this. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. And the grass is not greener on your side of the fence, necessarily. The grass is greener where you water it. And if you spent half the time working on your sexual relationship as you do complaining about it or fantasizing about something else, it'd be a whole lot better. Get it? Good. Oh, let's try that again. Get it? Good. Number 6, if I want to remain pure in a polluted society, I need to magnify the consequences of sin. I need to magnify the consequences of sin, of sex outside the parameters that God has set up. Now, having been a pastor for many, many, many years and having counseled thousands of people, and I have heard the heartache with the unfaithfulness, the illicit relationships, the sexual escapades outside of marriage or whatever, and I've seen the broken hearts, and I've seen the rejection, and I've dealt with the split-up families, and I've dealt with devastated children, and I've dealt with people who picked up sexually transmitted disease from an unfaithful spouse when they were faithful. And I've seen the damage that it does in hearts and souls and minds. I want to say that nothing damages your emotions more than sexual sin. Why? Because God made you to be a sexual being. He made you a woman, or he made you a man. And God says, that's good. And he made men to be men, and he made women to be women. And since your sexuality invades every single part of your life, it's not just a physical act. When that is violated, something in your mind, no matter what you say, well, everybody else is doing it, goes tilt, because you're violating the very culture in which you were, the nature in which you were made. And the sense of loss affects everybody, the shame won't go away, and the scars seem to be permanent. And I've talked to so many people who say, you know, I wish I could just roll back the clock. Now, the Bible says this: anyone who commits adultery doesn't have sense. He's destroying himself. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:26, immorality may cost your life. And you know, today, folks, that literally can be true with AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases. See, the point is that Hollywood has sensationalized and glamorized success, sex so much that it rarely shows the lives that it destroys. But the truth is, when sex is not used, but it is abused or misused, it always causes implications that we are even unaware of, because it's more than physical. And everybody loses. And God wants to spare you this pain. Regardless of what's happened in your past, God gives you a new start today, a chance to start over, to come clean, and be pure the rest of your life. You know, I've been married to Kay, and by the grace of God, she is the only woman I've ever known. And by the grace of God, I intend for that to be true the rest of my life. I intend to be faithful to her for my entire life. Now, why in the world would I make a commitment like that, when everything and everybody around me and 91% of the things I see on TV are saying, you're a fool? Why not just go to bed with anybody you want, as often as you want, wherever you want, in any way you want? You're an adult. You can make your own choices. Why would I do that? For three reasons. Number one, I love Jesus Christ. And he gave his life for me. He died on the cross for me. And I owe him everything I've got. And one day I want to go and be with him in heaven. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Number two, I love my wife and my kids with all my heart. And the thought of the pain that it would bring to them if I were sexually unfaithful, and the scars that would bear on my wife and my children, and that shame, is a thought that's almost unbearable to me to even think of. It is so painful to consider what that would bring upon the people I love the most. Number three, because I fear the judgment of God. And it's a healthy fear. And I would suggest that if you don't, you better get it quick. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, God will judge the sexually immoral. Don't think you're going to get away with this. Don't think that you're going to say to the creator of the universe, yeah, you made me, but forget you, God. I know better. I know more about sex than you do. And God's going, what? Say that again? Oh, yes, God, I know you gave me this gift and you laid out parameters for it, but you don't know nothing, God. I'm going to choose what will make me happy and what will meet my needs. God says, you don't do that and get away with it. This is a serious issue, folks. This is what Jesus Christ died on the cross for. Now, God's standard has never changed. Premarital sex is unacceptable to God. It always has been. It always will be. Living together without getting married is unacceptable to God. It always has been. It always will be. Adultery, having an affair, being unfaithful to somebody you're married to, is unacceptable to God. It always has been and it always will be. Pornography is unacceptable to God. It always has been, it always will be. And every one of those things bring a judgment. Now, if you have been guilty of one or all of these things I've just mentioned, you've come to the right place. Because this is what Saddleback's all about, a place for healing, forgiveness, restoration. God says, I want to give you a chance to come clean and start over and make the rest of your life the best of your life. If you're a single adult, to remain a virgin from this point forward until if and when God brings a person in your life that you make a marriage commitment to. And you could do that. What's the pathway back to purity? Well, it's there on your outline. Number one, I repent. You know what repent means? It's the word for change your mind. That's all repent means. It means I change my mind and say, you know, you were right, God. It was wrong. You call it what it is. It's sin. I don't rationalize it. I don't excuse it. I don't just say, well, everybody's doing it. I say, it was wrong. David did this in Psalm 51. Good psalm for you to go read. It's his prayer after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. But the important thing is that you do it now. If you're in the middle of an affair right now, this is it, folks. It's over. It's dead. It's done today. You quit cold turkey right now. You don't go home and say, well, I'll phase out of this in 3 months. You go home, you make one phone call or have one meeting, and that's it. I will never see you again. This is over. It's wrong. It's dead. And you cold turkey. You don't phase out of sin. You just stop it now. Then number two, you receive forgiveness. And God says, I'm waiting. I'm waiting to forgive and to cleanse and restore. And I want to release you from the shame and the regrets and the hidden hurts and the pain and all that stuff that you're going to carry into your marriage or you have carried into your marriage, and it's affecting your marriage today because of things you've never dealt with in the past. Some of them you've even in the person you're married to, and you've never come clean with each other on that, about things you did together. God says, I want to forgive you and I want to wipe the slate clean. And the good news is once he's forgiven you, you can forgive yourself, which you're having a hard time doing. And I know this message today is very painful for some of you. The third thing you do is you refocus and you replace. And you make a commitment to live morally pure by God's standard from this day forward for the rest of your life. That means having sex only with the person you're married to. And then number four, I request help daily. And I commit my life to Christ, and I ask him to help me manage this powerful sex drive, this gift that he gave me. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 10. Remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. In other words, we're all in the same boat. We all have the same temptations. And God is faithful. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so you will not give in to it. There is no irresistible temptation. God says, I'll show you a way out. Now, your sexual drive will either make you a dynamic person or it can destroy you. It's your choice. Let's bow our heads. God gave you your sex drive, and he made you a woman to be a woman, or he made you a man to be a man. And used properly, sex bonds a husband and wife together in a way that nothing else can do. But used improperly, it destroys marriages and families. It damages self-esteem. It creates misery. It evokes guilt. It causes shame and regret. It leads to depression, not mentioning all of the diseases possible through promiscuity. God's way is always the best way. And today you can get back on track and live pure the rest of your life regardless of what's happened. Doesn't matter so much your past as what direction your feet are headed right now. And maybe you've realized that you need to get serious about your thoughts. And you thought those little fantasies and thoughts about that person were harmless. Well, they're not, because they create feelings which lead to actions. So you stop it. Maybe you've developed an emotional attachment to somebody who's not your spouse, and you need to nip it in the bud right now and call it what it is. It's not a game. Maybe your marriage has been shaken by an affair. Well, the good news is that you can do something about it. You haul your marriage into dock for refitting and repairing, and once it's refitted, it will sail farther and faster than at any previous time. So I want to pray for you this morning, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Father, thank you for giving us our sexuality. Thank you that you made men to be men, and you made women to be women. And thank you that your gift, used in your way, produces great results. I pray today, Father, for those who carry guilt and shame because of failure in this area to deal with your standard. And I pray that you'll help them to realize that they do not have to carry that guilt a single second longer. That today, right here, they can receive forgiveness and cleansing and a chance at a new start to be pure from here on out. And may we leave here with a new resolve to live our lives pure before you. Now it's your turn to pray. Why don't you say, Jesus, you know what I've done. You know all about me. And I thank you that you love me. And I ask you to forgive me. Clean out my life and give me a fresh start today. Today, dear Lord, I want to make a commitment to your standard, regardless of what anybody else says or what the rest of the world does. I want to live according to your word. Would you help me to manage my mind? Help me to not feed on trash, but to feed on truth. Help me to monitor my media intake and keep me from paying attention to what's worthless. Help me to minimize the opportunity to realize that in any situation, given the right circumstances, I could stumble. Help me to choose my friends wisely, who are personally committed to purity too, rather than ones that would bring me down. And for those of you who are married, would you pray, Lord, help me to enjoy life with my mate and stop complaining and start putting the energy and time into courting and dating and romancing my mate, my spouse, my husband or wife. Help me to put the time and energy into something that you say is important. Help me to magnify the consequences of sin, and when the world says there are no consequences, help me to realize that you're going to judge this. So today I repent, and I ask you to forgive me and help me to refocus my life on a pure lifestyle, to replace temptation with truth. And God, I'm going to need your help every day. I know it'll be tough, but I ask you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. And if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be right back in a moment to close out our time today, but first, one of the things that you ask us about the most here on Daily Hope are the Bible memorization cards. We get a lot of requests for them, so Pastor Rick has added another deck of 52 scripture cards based on Bible verses to go along with our current series. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Friends, one of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize scripture. God tells us in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and also keep them deep within your heart. Now, you may not think you've got a good memory, but the truth is we all remember what's important to us. For instance, you remember phone numbers and dates that you care about. I've heard people say they can't memorize anything, yet they can quote a song lyrics from their childhood, or they can rattle off a statistic for their favorite baseball player. You see, memory is a skill that you can learn. And it's also a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, study after study has shown that memorizing scripture will cause your brain to have a stronger memory in other areas too. So when you memorize scripture, you're actually benefiting a lot of other areas in your life. Now, here's how I want to help you memorize God's word. We've put together a new packet, a new set of cards with verses from the Bible for you to memorize. And these are good, easily memorizable verses. And you can put these cards around your house, or you can put them on your refrigerator, or, you know, tape them to the mirror where you brush your teeth, or you can put them by your bed, or in your car, in the visor. It doesn't really matter, but they're very beautiful, and they will keep these Bible verses, God's Word, before you every day, helping you to memorize the Word of God. I hope you'll take advantage of this new resource.
We'll send you the Building My Life on Values That Last Bible Memorization cards to say thanks for your financial support of this ministry. And when you sign up for the convenient automated monthly giving, we'll also send you an added special gift to welcome you to Pastor Rick's Partner in Hope family. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.